Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. We are 9 days away from the start of the high school football season. Exciting time, isn't it?
Scrimmage, final scrimmages Friday and Saturday for high school football.
Love it.
It truly is the most wonderful time of the year.
What, right now?
Right now. And next
week?
There's nothing
going on right now.
Next week? Oh, next week is Nirvana.
There's nothing going on right now. Nothing. And you're all happy.
Love it.
All right.
Two of my four teams still in the Little League World Series yet?
I saw the team from Puerto Rico last night. They were in Williamsport last night. They had a blast at the game. Fun to talk to. I talked with them briefly. Explained to them what one issue they had was.
The fact that I didn't pick them.
No, you picked them as the dark horse.
That's right.
I said, this is your issue. I showed the picture. Three became frightened. But that is... It was fun to see them there last night. Very, very fun. Michael Vick is the quarterback of the Eagles. How about Brandon Whedon? He's going to be 30 years old. He's a year and a half younger than Ben Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger's heading into his, 11th year in the league? 10th year in the league? Whedon's heading into his second. Welcome to another season of Cleveland Browns football.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Speaking of football, I have Buzz from Northumberland on the line, has a question for you regarding football.
Hello, Buzz. How are you, buddy?
How are you guys? I'm so excited about football. Last week you guys explained to me about the practice squad, which is something I never knew. But I was thinking today, I wondered, seeing the pick get chosen for the Eagles and think it'll be good, but the man is off injured. I wondered, since they have statistics on everything, what is the most often or most commonly injured position in pro football, and does that affect who they have on a practice squad?
I don't know the answer to that. I do know that in the NFL, at quarterback, you carry two quarterbacks in the game, and you carry a third quarterback, your 46th player,
right,
who's suited up but not eligible to play, but the second he plays a play, one of the other quarterbacks has to be out completely and cannot return.
Well, I just wondered who they kept on a practice squad in view of maybe they knew who was most likely to be injured. I just wondered how they decided what positions to keep on the practice squad.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a wide variety of guys that they just want to keep their hands on usually. And then they fill in the spots with other guys on that practice squad to go up against the first team.
Yeah.
It's more on who they want to keep, and obviously one of them's a quarterback. One of them on the extra group of eight guys is a quarterback. Yeah. Then the other seven, I think they just fill in with guys that they want to keep.
I think it was about 5 years ago. I actually had that same question, Buzz, and I looked it up. Running back was the was the position with the most injuries in the NFL.
Right. Okay.
Followed then by, which really surprised me, defensive tackle.
I would think center would be in there somewhere. They get pounded every play.
Believe it or not, the center and guard were the least.
least, yeah.
And quarterback actually ranked in there with center, guard, and offensive tackle. That really surprised me.
Yeah, that is interesting. That surprises me, too.
But the difference is it's the quarterback. The second the quarterback gets hurt, everybody knows.
I think I vaguely remember, and, you know, at my age, I don't know if I'm... I actually do remember, but it seems to me many years ago, maybe like 20 years ago, the Eagles lost both quarterbacks in a game, and one of the halfbacks who had some experience at quarterback came in to play quarterback for the rest of the game. Is that possible that that happened? I mean, how
sure,
long
it's possible.
Third quarterback been around?
Yeah, and I'm trying to think that it happened to the Colts. In the 60s.
They lost both quarterbacks, okay.
They lost John Unitas and Gary Quazzo.
Yep.
And Tom Matty played quarterback. Tom Matty played quarterback because they lost both John Unitas and Gary Quazzo.
Yeah.
So it's happened before where somebody else from a different position has had to play quarterback. And that to me, is the one that stands out.
Yeah,
that Tom Matty did.
I just remember the one. Yeah. Hey, well, thanks, and Penn guys. State, I'm ready to go here.
Yeah, and Penn State had lost two quarterbacks in one game at Wisconsin a few years ago. Both Zach Mills and Michael Robinson, and Chris Ganner had to finish the game.
I'll be darned. No, don't remember that.
Yep, oh, I do. Ezra James. Ezra James had two knockouts.
Yeah, I'll be darned. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it, Buzz. You too, Buzz. 800-795-9565. Yeah, Tom Matty played quarterback for the Colts. Unitas and Quazzo both got hurt. Unitas, Quazzo, gone.
I don't remember where I read that survey, or who did the survey, or who conducted it, but running back by far, I want to say averaged almost 30 injured reserve players per year. And that's what they base it on, somebody that went on injured reserve. And second was defensive tackle, followed by corner and linebacker.
Well, running back's 3.8 years on the average.
Yeah, I knew it was in the league. Like less than five. I didn't know how
it's
it was.
Brutally low. It's like you're taking so many hits. You know, I mean, you're taking so many hits. And that's... I mean, every play, even when you don't have the ball, they may swing the ball out to you, or they keep you in the pass block. The amount of time and the amount of punishment you take in that spot is high, and plus you're trying to cut sometimes at a high rate of speed, which causes ankle, leg, knee injuries. You may take a shot to the wrist. There's a lot of things that can happen when you're a running back.
Steve, is it just me or the running backs in the NFL getting smaller overall? You don't see those big bruising style running backs, you know, the hard nosed guys always got those great, you know, long explanations on how well they ran and how hard nosed they are, and they put their head down and barreled through. You know, the Jerome Bettis style guys. I don't see too many of those anymore.
No, you don't. You don't. They seem to be a little smaller in stature, high behind the line, quick. I mean, you seem to see a lot of guys like that. You don't see the 230-pound running back any longer. So you certainly do see, you know, the Ray Rice side. I mean, Ray Rice is a powerfully built guy. He's just not big in stature.
Right.
Bernard Pierce is a little bigger in stature. Frank Gore, Ahmad Bradshaw. Adrian Peterson's actually decent size, but he's not fullback size. Michael Turner would have been a guy that you're thinking of that would be that size.
Yeah, yeah, there's another one.
And he would be that size. Arian Foster's actually a decent size back.
By the way, speaking of the bus, he's going to be added to ESPN, I understand.
You must be so excited.
I actually liked him on NBC.
Yeah, I think he'll do fine. He'll do a good job. He'll do a good job. But you know how I feel about that stuff.
I know.
So you watch all of that stuff, and I think that's fine. That's why it's out there. It's out there because people do want to watch it. It just turns out that my interest in that waned a long time ago. I'm more into the mode now. Kick it off, I'm ready. And again, I do a pregame show. I do an hour and a half pregame show. Thank God Jack's there because he actually does it well.
Well, somebody's got to have the knowledge on the broadcast, you know?
Yeah, you get that right. He's got all of it. But, I mean, you know, obviously I do an hour and a half show. I mean, and the goal that we have in the hour and a half is to try and be in as informative as possible. I don't mind. I really don't mind what opinion anybody has. If they have a different opinion, you know, it's fine. Doesn't mean their opinion's any better or worse. You know, the only time every once in a while, you know, I may have an opinion that's backed up by some facts. So you try and make sure you get the facts out there. Yeah, that's because you're around more. You have more access to facts. And that's the difference. You have more access to facts as opposed to somebody calling in. Doesn't mean they didn't find some facts that you don't know about. And I'll say this, fans who call into the show, I'll tell you one area that they know exponentially more about than I do. That's recruiting. They know much more about recruiting than I do. I don't follow recruiting. They get a guy, then I read up on him a little bit, kind of get a feel for it. But before they even recruit the guy, I don't know who the guys are.
By the way, the football show tomorrow night could be one of the most listened to in recent memory. I mean,
why?
Well, Bill O'Brien said yesterday that he was going to name a starting quarterback by the end of the week. That would be a perfect place to do it.
He's not going to be on the show.
But then again, he can't do it if he's not on the show.
I mean, I'm trying to get a sit down with him tomorrow for 5 minutes. Okay, we're trying to work that out right now. Because they have practice tomorrow. They practice at 5 o'clock tomorrow. So you can't. That's why we've known the entire time he couldn't do the first show. He'll be there for the second show next week. But the best we can do is get a 5 minute sit down in the morning with him, which I'm trying to do. I'm trying to work it out now.
Still, that would be a perfect opportunity.
Yeah, it could be. If he had one, maybe he doesn't have one yet.
Well, he's only got one more day, unless he does it on a Saturday.
No, they go tomorrow at 5. They go Friday morning at 6:30. They go Saturday morning at 6:30. Then they're off Sunday.
That's what I'd like to hear from Penn State fans right now. Who do you think the starting quarterback will be?
Sure. 800-795-9565. Go ahead.
You don't have to defend it if you don't want to. I'm just curious.
There's nothing to defend. I think it'd be great to hear what their opinion happens to be. Just for fun. Why not? 800-795-9565. It's hard, though, for people to make a call on this because they haven't seen the guys. You know what I mean?
Well, but I think some fans have a gut feeling and their own personal feeling even though they may not have only seen one of them. I mean, between what everybody, and let's face it, this has been highly talked about.
I understand. I mean, I understand that, but it's just, I think it's kind of hard to sit there and I want to defend the fans here for a moment in their opinion and to defend them. I mean, in their defense, it may be hard for them to call in about it because they haven't seen the guy.
That's true.
Let's take an example. If you're a New York Jets fan and I say to you, Geno Smith, Mark Sanchez, Jets fans can call up because now they've seen both Geno Smith and Mark Sanchez.
That's a very good point.
All right. I'm just defending the fans because the fans are in a tough spot. Well, they may like, hey, I think it ought to be, and here's the reason why. And I think it ought to be, and here's the reason why.
Well, that's what I say. You don't have to defend it. Just give me your thoughts.
Right. And, you know, who's your preference? 800-795-9565. So we come back on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2006 Ford Explorer, 4-liter XLT, new rotors and brake lining, just $10,995. 2011 Ford Fiesta, 4-door sedan, $12,494. 2009 Honda Accord, 4-door LX, just $13,998. 2006 Pontiac Solstice, 2-door convertible, super low miles, only $15,521. 2011 Hyundai Sonata, 2.4-liter hybrid for just $17,887. And a 2010 Honda Odyssey, 5-door EXL, $22,775. Call 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome back. It would have been easier, obviously. Let's take 1986. John Schaefer, Matt Kisner. All right. And the Harrisburg Patriot News ran their poll, and Kisner won. And, of course, Schaefer then started, and Schaefer ended up quarterbacking the team to a national championship. But the difference in doing a poll then is that everybody had seen a full body of work from John Schaefer, and had seen some from Matt Kisner, including the Orange Bowl game against Oklahoma, where Kisner came off the bench and gave him a spark. So you have a little bit more to work with. Here's a case where, except for 8 passes in a blue-white game, the fans haven't seen either quarterback, really. That's tough. And Syracuse is not going to name a starter until they play. Just so you know, we will not know the Syracuse starting quarterback till they actually play the game.
That's different.
Eh. Just puts more pressure on me to look out and go, 11, it's Hunt. Great.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'll have them both there anyway. What difference will it make?
You know, it's not going to matter to me. They're both barely on tape anyway, for goodness sakes. Ryan Nassib took almost every snap last year. You know, yeah, I mean,
and they could platoon.
They could.
I've never been a big fan of platooning, though.
No, neither have I. I don't think you get anything out of that. I really don't. I've always kind of felt that, you know, when you have two, do you have one?
Well, it makes it really difficult, I think, not only for the receivers, because every quarterback has his little, you know, things that are a little bit different or different ways he likes you to run the route that you can help him out. But I think mostly it affects the offensive line. I mean, each guy has a different style and a different cadence, and that can it, now, that can really mess you up.
I'm sure it could, yeah. It certainly can, you know. Plus, you know, each one has a different way of throwing it, and
yeah, that's as a receiver that can make it really tough. And then if one's left-handed and the other's right-handed, oh man,
right,
that makes it a nightmare for a receiver.
Right, and it's tough. There's no question about that. It's tough. And it changes, you know, you get in there, there's also a different cadence. That's another part. It's also a different cadence.
Well, that's what I said. You know, I think that's the toughest thing for the line of scrimmage, those guys on the line.
So, I don't know. It's, like I said, I've never been a big And then there are other times where it's just plain tough to do it. You can't pick between the two. It's hard. You want to, you know, you kind of want to keep both of them engaged. So, I mean, there's actually some reasons to do it. But.
Well, let's see. It's Hunt and Allen, right?
Yeah, it's Hunt and Allen are the two.
Right. Terrell Hunt and Drew Allen. Now,
yep.
Tell me this. I would assume from what I've read, and I haven't seen Syracuse with these guys at all, but they kind of more traditional with Allen and then read option with Hunt?
Yeah, a little bit more, yeah.
That does make it a lot tougher as a defensive coach to prepare.
Sure, it does. There's no question about that. It makes it a lot tougher. No doubt about that.
I mean, if you have a quarterback who can run the read option well and is smart and makes the right reads on the linebackers, oh, man, read option can be really tough to stop.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be. And it, when you have two distinctly different styles, it makes a it's a nightmare for a defensive coordinator, because now you really have to see who's in the game, how do they do it, how do you go about it. And you don't really have a read on either one of these quarterbacks. You really don't. The reason you don't have a read on either one, they didn't do anything last year. I mean, where's the tape on them? No tape on these guys. It's not an ideal situation.
See, that's why I like offenses that run pistol formations, because I think that read option there that's in that makes it very, very difficult to defend it for a linebacker. You've got to stay home. You've got to make sure the running back doesn't get the ball. Then the quarterback doesn't roll out. And, oh, by the way, he may actually throw the ball where you just were standing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, but a lot of teams run pistol and don't have a guy like that.
That's exactly right. With the right personnel, it can be a very dangerous formation.
Right.
Without
the 40. Yeah, the 49ers run pistol with Kaepernick. Wow.
Yep.
The Ravens run pistol.
Not scared.
So what? Well, it depends on who's running it. All right, we'll come back. Final half hour, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Joe Susan joins us tomorrow, the head coach of Bucknell, at 3:35 to talk about how the Bison have performed so far in the preseason, getting ready for their opener on the horizon. Kevin getting ready for the long drives with Doug.
Not too bad this year. They get the season started at home against Marist on the 7th. Then there's a bye week on the 14th. And then it's straight through to Thanksgiving.
There you go.
I don't know. That's one of the things that you have a bye week the first week.
Right.
Which some, you know, quite a few teams do, and even in the Ivies especially. Then you have that bye week on the 14th, but then you're straight through. That is rough.
Yes, it is, especially when you get to, like, the first week of November and you had a break.
Exactly.
Penn State gets two breaks this year. They get September 28th and they get October 20th. So they get two bye weeks.
You know, the one thing that I think Bucknell has really going for it offensively is that offensive line. I mean, that's an offensive line that last year at this time had one start amongst them.
Right.
Now, that's a whole different story right now. I mean, there's a lot. What is it Coach Susan always said to us? We just need a few more birthdays. Well, he got a few and see if it'll help.
When you mature and grow together, that makes a big difference. And they're getting close to a breakthrough.
And I know a lot of fans are really excited, too, about the addition of scholarships in the Patriot League. But that's going to be, I mean, before you can really judge what scholarships have done for the Patriot League programs, that's not going to happen for another 2, maybe 3 years.
Well, I mean, you slowly grow into it. And, I mean, that'll be... I think it's a plus overall for the conference. I think 5 years from now, everybody will really be able to feel it. And it'll be, you know, it'll make a difference. It just takes time to grow into it in terms of changing the quality by using scholarships.
Well, and one of the things you have to keep in mind is look at how many programs, you know, Bucknell are playing with scholarships. You know, last year,
right.
Delaware. You know, they were playing Bryan. Then you have the Ivies when you play those. Now, I know they're not scholarship programs, but there's money available there.
Yeah, they find it. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying is there's money available there.
Yes, there is. There is definitely money available there. No question about that.
You know, and a few years ago, they played Duquesne on a regular basis. And right. Teams like Robert Morris, again, those are teams that that had a little bit of an advantage.
Right. And they do have an advantage. Now, it'll take some time against those programs to even up the playing field. But also remember that Bucknell's not only giving out scholarships, but there's a high academic standard that must be met because Bucknell is an outstanding academic school. And that's, it's not just giving the scholarship. It's another thing to make sure that they stay eligible with that scholarship. But it takes work, and the Bucknell people do a great job with that.
Well, I always think back to that Delaware game last year in week three. It was a 19-3 loss, and up until the fourth quarter, Bucknell is well in that game against a Delaware team that is solid. I mean, you look at the losses in that middle stretch of the season that they had, a lot of them were less than a touchdown. Now, there's a lot of, and that's a young team. That's a young offense.
Sure it is. Very young. Very young offense. But again, it's part of the growth process, growing together. Joe Susan said they need more birthdays. That's how they have to do it. You know, Penn State's counting down. I mean, they practiced this morning. They've got a walkthrough tonight, which is no big deal. It's a big deal to them. They have to stay sharp. They go tomorrow at 5. They go Friday morning at 6:30. They go Saturday morning at 6:30. It's move-in weekend here because classes here begin on Monday.
Are they taking Monday off?
No.
Wow.
Who's not taking Monday? Monday's game week.
Well, they're taking
Sunday off.
Yeah. I was thinking like Bucknell, they had an extra week, but they don't.
No. They don't. And you know, not only that, but look, you go to class on Monday. You are not doing much. Most classes on Monday deal with here's the syllabus. You're not really, except for finding where to go, you're really not going to be emotionally taxed on Monday. How about that? You don't walk into a class on Monday, the first class of the semester, and they say, hey, pop quiz. Let's go to it.
Only in Steve Jones' broadcasting class.
No, they're not going to have their first assignment. I had to work it out. So I have to be at the Duquesne Club at noon on Monday.
I find it interesting, though, that... No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm going to be at the Duquesne Club on Monday. And I'll start class and we'll, get out the syllabus, but then I'll drive to Pittsburgh. But
I find it funny, though, that there are so many players that blog about taking Mr. Jones's class because it's not hard to get an A. I don't understand.
I have not had many players in my class. I can tell you who I've had. I've had Michael Robinson.
I didn't say players. I just said students.
Oh, students. Yeah, players. I've had Michael Robinson, Daryl Clark, Deion Butler, Andrew Pitts, Stephon Morris. Those are the only football players I've had. And this, again, this class goes in the spring, too.
I don't know. It must be a tough class. It must be some sort of a class because a friend of mine took your class and now he's a firefighter.
Well,
he changed careers.
Well, it's probably my fault.
That's all right. One less person to compete with.
I'll take responsibility. I'll take responsibility for what happens and doesn't happen. It's fine. Yeah, so, that starts on Monday. But then the next week's Labor Day. So they're not going to be in class the next Monday afterward. And I freely admit, they asked me what day of the week I wanted to teach, and I picked Monday. Now, why did I pick Monday?
Boy, I can't figure it out.
Because there's Labor Day, and then there's also fall break. In the spring, there's Martin Luther King Day, and there's spring break. Mom didn't raise a total dummy.
I was just thinking that.
Mom did not raise a total dummy. I never thought, when I first went into it, I wasn't sure whether I'd enjoy it. So I went in with the idea of, let's give this a semester, maybe two, and see. I ended up really enjoying it. It's great being around young people. And they're juniors and seniors, and they have ambition. So they're more motivated. They show up. It's a 400-level course, so that your odds of getting a high-end student are very good. They've already been through a lot to get there.
Your course is a 400-level course?
Yes. Yeah, my course is a 400-level course.
I'm actually slightly impressed.
So, I didn't know if I'd like it or not. And after a semester, I thought, well, this is really great. I could do this in terms of enjoying it and being a part of it.
Got a couple of quick score updates for you. Your Bo Sox lead San Francisco 3-2 top of the third. Bottom of the second, Oakland leading Seattle 2-1. And St. Louis and Milwaukee 7-5. St. Louis leads at bottom seven with two on for the Crew.
Well, the Cardinals at one point had a 7-1 lead in that game.
It's dwindling.
Yes, it has dwindled. No question about that. It's a good race. I mean, it's amazing. There's certain teams that can make you better in a hurry. Playing Houston, playing Miami, playing the Padres. Suddenly out of nowhere, you're good. All good. We're well.
Playing the Padres. Let's see.
Well, schedule says you have to play. Might as well beat them.
Let's see. Who is... Did Houston catch up to Miami yet? No, they did not. 41-84 for the Strohs. 48-76 for Miami.
It's almost bizarre how bad they are. You're almost embarrassed when you lose to them.
I think they were better when they were an expansion team.
Who, Houston?
Miami.
Oh, Miami? Well, Houston probably was, too.
Houston probably was, too, right. You have to admit, though, they have one of the most unique ballparks in Major League Baseball. Unfortunately, nobody's going to see any of the games.
You talking about Miami?
No, Houston. I'm sorry. I jumped back to Houston there for you, on you.
Oh, Minute Maid Park. Minute Maid Park's cool. I mean, that's the hill in center field. They got that interesting wall on left. And yeah.
It's a shame. Judging by the attendance, you haven't noticed.
But Houston is a great market that you really have to be in. And one of the reasons that Houston is a great market is that Houston is one of the top corporate headquarter markets in the country. You have a lot of corporations there and there are many reasons. One of them being low corporate taxes, and there's no state income tax in Houston. So when you look at the value of a franchise, I think a lot of people were surprised that when they were listing the top five franchises in the NFL in value, the Houston Texans were fifth. Because they have a great stadium, and there's a lot of money around that city. Some people thought that when they were going back to Houston to replace the Oilers, that it had become so ingrained as Cowboys country, and that's no longer like that. I mean, the Houston Texans, in 11 years, have established their own identity. They also have a stadium. Robert McNair had a lot of foresight in Houston because he built that retractable roof stadium for about $700 million. That same stadium today would cost about $1.6 to $1.8 billion to build. You have the Rockets there. They have a beautiful ballpark now for the Astros. The Rockets have Toyota Center, which is nice. It's where they played the All-Star game this year. And Houston is actually a great place to go to. That's why I think the NBA is really missing the boat with Seattle. The NBA is missing the boat with Seattle by not getting in there, because they're, you know, between Boeing, Starbucks, Microsoft, they have corporate money all over the place in Seattle. I mean, great corporate money.
Yeah, but I wonder if they look at what the Mariners have drawn this year, and I mean, I know they're not a 500 team, but I wonder if they look at that and said, yeah, I don't know.
All right, then look at CenturyLink Field. Look at the Seattle Sounders soccer team. Seahawks average, every seat sold out, have never had an empty seat.
Yeah, Seahawks definitely play. Yeah, they draw. There's no question.
And the Seattle Sounders average 41,000 per match. Number one in MLS.
Now, I didn't even know they had a soccer team.
Yes. They average 41,000 per. They are number one in the MLS. And that's what's taken away probably from the Mariners, who aren't playing as well and have a gorgeous ballpark. But the Sounders are playing at the same time, and they're drawing extremely well.
Can you take a guess by percentage? Who is the worst-drawing Major League Baseball team this year to this date?
I would guess Tampa Bay.
Believe it or not, Tampa Bay is 26th by percentage.
Okay.
When you factor in how many games were played, believe it or not, it is Cleveland.
Okay. And they actually have a good team this season.
Yeah. Cleveland is 30th. Houston is 29th. Seattle 28th, Miami 27th, and Tampa Bay 26th. And that goes back to what we've talked about many times. Florida baseball does not draw.
No, it does not. It never has. It never has. I understood why they wanted to go into Miami. I wasn't quite as sure why they wanted to go into Tampa Bay. I thought maybe one franchise down there was enough. But
it's funny, though, when you get the Phillies down there, because the Phillies aren't far away from at spring training, there's tons of people in the stadium.
Right. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. That's your first coach's show is tomorrow. Jack Ham, Lauren Crispell will join me on that. Still working on trying to get a few minutes with Bill O'Brien, something pre-recorded before we get rolling on the show tomorrow night.
That's right. Steve Jones Thursday returns.
It's about time. People have claimed they've missed it.
No. You misunderstood. They wanted to miss it. You misunderstood what they were saying.
Au contraire. No, I'm just... Yeah. So that is tomorrow. And we'll run for the next, 30 consecutive weeks?
I would hope you know.
I think it's 30 straight weeks, something like that. It goes into March.
You do know that you have to show up for that, right?
I have for 14 straight years.
All right, I want to make sure you didn't get confused.
No, I'm not too confused about that. I'm not too confused.
You know, during the break, we were talking, I said, oh, I forgot. Philadelphia Soul was in the Arena Football League Championship.
Yes. Yeah. Owned by John Bon Jovi. Yeah.
And they lost. And Jaws have something in that too? Yeah. And they lost to the Rattlers. And you and I got to talking about it a little bit. And I don't know what it is. It has everything I want. It's football. There's not a ton of running. It's not real boring. There's action. They're throwing the ball all over the field. There's good hits. They got hit guys into the padded walls. You can play the ball off the curtain. for kickoffs and things. I just can't get into it. And it's in a time where there's no football really going on. I just can't get into it.
It's different. I mean, it is different. You know, you're dealing with a confined space, the boards. Suddenly you're in the end zone. It doesn't take a lot to get to the end zone.
I find myself liking the CFL more than I like the Arena Football League.
Well, it's a field. That's the reason why it's a field. And that's you know, there's more space. People, you know, it looks more natural space to operate.
I am looking forward to the USFL, though.
Well, if it ever starts, sure.
I keep hearing next year.
Well, we'll see. If they are, we'll end up doing something about it. We'll do something about it. You know, once it gets here, talk to maybe an organizer, a coach, something, because they're going to want publicity.
Last I heard, it was March 2014.
Well, that's perfect. That happens. I think they have a shot, if they manage it right, of doing well. I know Donald Trump, as brilliant a businessman as he is, I think that's the one. Either he had more insight, obviously he had more inside information than I had in terms of what the financials were looking like at that point. But I really thought if they'd stayed in the spring, I really believe that they'd still be there right now. I think they had something going. And they certainly were becoming a pain to the NFL with some of the players they signed.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. When you start getting some of the big name kids out of college to play, then you're really doing something.
Yeah. Jim Kelly, Reggie White, Herschel Walker, Doug Flutie, Mike Rozier. I mean, they got some pretty good players. Gary Anderson, they got some pretty good players that they had lining up for them.
I heard rumors that they may go to the 4.50-plus yard field goal.
Okay.
I like that idea, especially if it's an outdoor venue. You should get more points for that long of a kick.
Well, there's a basketball league out there called Ball right now that has a four-point shot.
What, does it have to be beyond half court?
25 feet.
I'm not sure about that one. Let me think about that.
It's a summer league.